Falcons, Buccaneers, Sunday. Of course, these teams just got together a couple of weeks ago. The Falcons winning that one, what, 36-30 in overtime. No Chris Godwin for the Buccaneers. No Mike Evans, but Falcons will have to deal with the likes of Rashad White, Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker. Now, they've combined to help the Buccaneers rush for an average of 168 yards per game since week four, so they've discovered their rushing attack. But, man, they got gashed by the Ravens the other night. 508 yards. Baker Mayfield, what, three interceptions?
Two. Two. He had three night. In the Saints game.
But he's had
five
in his last two.
That's so a good point,
gentlemen.
Rob Holland, ATL, hit me up and said he thinks this game is basically the Sodas last year. But just not as it's, you know, they're injured and we need to win.
What, Josh Dobbs is playing?
Look, I think his point is I want to see if this team's advanced mentally. It's hard for me to, first off, just on that part, it's hard
tend
for me
to agree with them.
Huh?
Tend to agree with them.
Well, it's hard for me to judge this team as the same as last year's because you got different parts, you got different people in here, some of the same leaders on one side, but a completely different leader on the other side in Kirk Cousins. The offense last year couldn't capitalize with turnovers. Could they do it? Can they do it this year in a situation? But I also think it's completely different, though, when you think about, yes, they lost Godwin and they lost Mike Evans, but they still have the three-headed monster Rob just talked about, rushing for, what, 160 yards the last couple of games on average or something like that, 130 on the season. And then they still have the guy at the helm, which is Baker Mayfield. Now, the thing that I want to know, the question you asked your question earlier, here's my question. Does Baker Mayfield, who's been he's seemingly been pressing of late because he's throwing interceptions more, is he going to press when he does drop back? Is he going to force balls in there? And if he forces them in there, can you bat one up or tip one up or step in front?
Yeah, I don't have a high amount of confidence. And look, Falcons 30 best rate when defending passing plays right now in the NFL. And that's what I think to your buddy's Peter that hits you up. I think you are it's a lot different, but you're plagued by some of the same questions, right? I mean, can this team mentally get over the hurdle of beating teams you're supposed to beat? The Vikings were one of them, right? When you have teams that are reeling, we've mentioned a number of times, if Arthur Smith simply and Des Ritter simply go out and beat Josh Dobbs' Vikings team, which he didn't start that game, or Will Levis' Titans team, or Kyler Murray's first start of the year last year, like we're talking about probably Arthur Smith still being here.
Yep.
And that's the hurdle that I think this team has to overcome in a lot of people's minds. Get home on the quarterback, which you couldn't do, and you still can't do, against a lot of those guys. So
don't get penalized on third down when you seemingly get a stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And find consistency offensively. We have improved offensively because we can throw the ball down the field with decent consistency, but we also aren't as mobile as we were at quarterback, and that makes things tougher a little bit as well. So there are a lot of questions. I actually kind of like bringing up the Minnesota game. It's like kind of a last week was a prove it game. It's like beat the teams you're supposed to that are bad. Now the teams that are reeling, that are, you know, maybe middle of the pack right now, that beat those teams too.
I think that I don't think the Seattle's necessarily a bad team. I think Seattle was a team you should have beat.
I mean, they did start off 3-0.
I meant Carolina 2 weeks ago. They beat the best.
But
meaning like last, yeah.
To your point about the Tennessee game, you brought the Tennessee game last year. This reminds me. Last week reminded me of the Tennessee game, a game that you could win, and you came out and you just didn't look like any. You didn't look like you were flat, is what they, and that's the way the Tennessee game looked.
Yeah.
This is a team, though. Remember one thing, though. To me, Tampa is a team that I think has got their backs to the wall in this game. I think they're at home. They just got beat pretty handily. They lost two of their best players. Their back's on the wall, and they say, hey, we might have a bye coming up, but we also have Kansas City and San Francisco, and we don't want to go 4-4 into Kansas City and have to play them on the road and then play San Francisco after that. That's a bad spot for us to be in.
God, so many injuries out in San Francisco. Do they even have enough guys to dress out? That's what it seems like out there.
They somehow got Ricky Pearsall back last week, so that's a person in the right direction at least, getting him back off the PUP list. But yeah, I mean, something's got to give over there with them because it feels like the dam's about to break in a couple of ways.
Kirk Cousins did not look very good last week, seemingly inaccurate. Well, David Archer caught up with him, an interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. And Kirk and David Archer, they're about six margaritas in when they conducted this interview.
Hey, hey. Let's get it right here. Let's get in the end zone. Let's go! This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Kirk, with the focus of the football team after a win and a loss can sometimes be different. This seems to be a really mature team. How did you like the way the focus kind of set up this week?
Yeah, I see guys, you know, getting right back to work and viewing it as a new week, fresh week. That's how you have to be in this league, win or loss. You say, all right, new week, fresh start, we begin again, and let's go. And, you know, that's your only chance to really be able to put a tough loss behind you and get back on the right track.
I know it's not a danger for you because you've been around this league a long time and you've thrown for a lot of yards in a lot of games. You got some young guys that maybe realized some of their highs as a professional in this game last time you played Tampa. Any danger of them putting on the tape and saying, hey, this is going to be a walk in the park, we go take care of it again?
No, I think if anything, it's a little bit of you know, what will Tampa do now? You know, having played that game, how do they choose to change? And then what you find in the NFL is at the end of the day, people are going to be who they've been. They're not going to completely reinvent the wheel. So also, what are we doing, you know, what are they doing that's the same? And we'll just have to see as the game goes. But expect some wrinkles, expect some curveballs. And we all know that every game is its own entity, and you really start from scratch and have to put together another strong performance to have a chance to win.
Sometimes you go into game, I would assume, go into a game, especially a quarterback has seen as much as you have, that you kind of get an idea it's going to be a track meet a little bit. And the last one was a bit of a track meet with you and Baker exchanging plays offensively. With some of the things that happened to them Monday night, does that change any of your mindset as to how you attack this game on their defensive?
Well, you know, I think they are a really good offense. We're going to have to keep our foot on the gas pedal, and we'll get a feel as the game goes on. And, you know, I learned last week against Seattle that, you know, even if we gave up a score before the half or we give up a score early in the third quarter, we're still in it. You know, you don't have to go force anything. That's when the game gets away from you, is when you start trying to force something to happen. So you be patient. You let the game come to you. And usually when you do that in pro football, you're there at the end.
They've got two smallish safeties in Jordan Whitehead, and now Antonio Winfield's back on the field. You mentioned there's going to be a couple of different guys on the field. Smallish guys, but kind of pesky, bulldogish type guys. What do you do with those two guys?
Yeah, they're the real deal. Winfield's as good as any safety in the league. He's a total package when it comes to making plays in the pass game, making plays in the run game, being a good blitzer, a finisher, a tackler, just being smart, tough. You know, he's a problem, and he was out last time. So that'll be a big challenge for us. Can't see the three technique was out as well last time. He's a great player, first-round pick. So they know that, and they're going to come loaded for bear.
All right, last thing for you. How do you neutralize the human solar system that is Vita Vea?
Yeah, you know, he's a problem. He's someone that you know going into the game. You know, we got to have a plan for him. We got to know where he is. We got to understand he can wreck the run game. He can be a factor in the pass game. And so, you know, there's an awareness when the O-line coach puts together the plan together of, you know, how do we handle him? Because, you know, he's been doing it for years now, and it's one thing to let him do it if he sneaks up on you, but when you know what he's capable of, you got to try to game plan for him.
It's hard to win in this league. It's doubly hard to win on the road, yet sometimes there's a value in traveling, going, getting away from home. You guys won last time, you went to Carolina, you got a loss, you're coming off a loss, now you go to Tampa. Is there any value to that?
Well, there's certainly challenges going on the road with the noise and just being in a foreign environment. You don't have as much support around you, but to your point, it can galvanize your group, and you realize, hey, it's just the 53 of us and our coaching staff, and you'd like to think it sharpens your focus and forces you to bring your absolute best to the table.
Go have some fun.
All right, thanks, Art. The
Falcons. Yes, let's have some fun on Sunday, gentlemen. That's Kirk Cousins with Dave Archer. Let's have some fun.
I love it. All right, thanks, Arch.
So how do you deal with that 400-pound refrigerator right there in the middle?
Got it. You got to do something to get him off balance.
Can you unplug it?
Yeah, right. You got to do something to get him off balance, right? And I used this analogy last time. It didn't end up panning out like this. A lot of times, guys like that, they move like a locomotive. It's a train. They stay on the train tracks, right? Trains are not change direction, right? You can't turn a train around and run it back the other direction very quickly.
You can derail it though,
right? And it's like a cruise ship. So a lot of times that's how you have to attack guys like that. And the point, Vita Vea is a little bit different though, man. He can move laterally a little bit better than most guys at his weight. You know, so that is it. You, instead of just saying, hey, we're going to run away from you, though, like they did last time, of saying, hey, Neusel can handle him, we'll just get out wide, we'll see if he can skate down the line, he did, right? So I think now you have to add some kind of system, or, you know, I don't want to say blindside, but like I brought up the Wham play earlier, something like that to kind of get him off balance, because I think with Ryan Neusel dinged up, with already, obviously, you already don't have Drew Dahlman and everything else going on in the interior of that line. I think you have to be very careful with how you approach it and not just say, well, just go get it done, because that's not going to be a winning formula, in my opinion, on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Vita Vea is he's gotten progressively better over his career, and against us, progressively better. I don't know what you do. I leave that to Mike. I would just say, I would put Lindstrom and Neusel on him as much as I could and see if he could beat him with a double team, because he is just. And Lindstrom struggled with him at times too when he's had one on one opportunities.
I just think that if I was going in with. Here's what I would do if I was going in with the same game plan and I was Neusel, I'd throw an early cut block. I'd throw an early cut block on him, because you usually don't cut at the center position on wide zone. But I'd if you're in a zero nose, I'd say, all right, buddy, like, hey. Better be ready to watch these ankles right now, all right?
Because, give them something to think about.
Just give them something to think about. It, if I was being forced to run with the same game plan, I do not think that Zach Robinson and Dwayne Ledford will do that this weekend, though.